Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out how Bonte and Shasky reacted to the weekend that Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors had. All right. We're talking about the San Francisco 49ers' latest loss, this time at the hands of the Detroit Lions, Dan Avone and Sterling Bennett. And Sterling, I just wanted to get into some Dan Campbell talk. Because I think he is, you know what he is? He is the sports talk radio host, sports podcaster, those YouTube nuts, anybody who likes to do this sort of stuff, dream. Because none of us have any accountability, for the most part. And I bet you that, well, what it is that you just laid out, and a lot of people echo that sentiment that he's a guy that, you know, he wants to run through a wall and he'll lead you, you know, he'll be the first to do it. And sure, I want to play for a guy like that. He fires you up. Let's go for it on fourth down. Let's play her because that's the way we are. But rest assured, if somebody got hurt last night, namely Jared Goff, Penei Sewell, you take any of those stars. And for a team that has been bitten by the injury bug, knives out, baby. All those same people would lead their shows today saying, yeah, I love Dan Campbell, but he's not a smart man. Or Dan Campbell is not the sort of coach that can win in 2024. You can't be this cannibal. It's not the 1960s. It's not about eating raw meat and yeah, let's headbutt each other. You have to think through some things. And so I love him on one regard, but let's face it. If he screws up again, let's say next week or in the postseason, going for like a 4th-and-11 in a winnable game or something, all those that are praising him are also going to crack on him hard.
Oh, 100%. Because then you get into an offseason where, say they lose like they lost last year, going for it on 4th down twice, whether it's Jared Goff's incompletion or a drop pass by Josh Reynolds, and it costs you a trip to the Super Bowl, then you lose Ben Johnson in the offseason, maybe you lose Aaron Glenn, and a lot of questions are how do the Lions survive in offseason where they lose two of their most important coordinators that have otherwise carried Dan Campbell for a lot of his tenure in Detroit. I completely agree. Now, that said, I don't care, man. Like, I love it. Like, the NFL is better with Dan Campbell as a head coach than not a head coach. Like, it brings me so much joy to watch. And maybe it's the Madden player in me. He plays the NFL like you're playing Madden, where it's, oh, it's 4th-and-35. I'm not going to punt. I'm going to go for it. I know I can get this thing. And you're like, you're not supposed to do this in real life, but he's doing it. And it makes the NFL so much more exciting, whether it is via sports talk shows, loving him, hating him, whatever it is. But it's like, I don't care. Like, give me more Dan Campbell. Give me a double dose of Dan Campbell next year. Whether it is they go to the Super Bowl or they lose next week against the Vikings, just give me more Dan Campbell in my life.
I had no issue with him playing last night and playing all his starters.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why other people did. And it's funny that those that had an issue or took umbrage with the fact that he wasn't being smart, like, some of the things that he does, like, I think he lost them that championship game last year against the 49ers. One of those fourth downs, but two of them, it's like, come on, man. It's the Lions. You haven't won this thing since the 50s, or you haven't been to a Super Bowl. This is your chance. I think you need to be a little, you need to think through this a little bit more thoroughly before you just simply go for it on fourth down, because that's who I am. But I think last night, listen, It's interesting when I hear today about some of the people that had issues with him playing as starters. I hate pointing fingers, but it usually comes from sort of the eggheads or the guys that just see this, you know, through a computer or algorithms or what you should do or shouldn't do. And listen, I've never played in the NFL, but I've been in a locker room, and I just think it's sometimes it's people who have now a seat at the table who say things from the outside looking in, and we all are to a certain degree because none of us play for the Lions, and like I said, none of us play professional sports. So sometimes it's just it may not make sense on some levels, but playing Jared Goff and your starters certainly makes sense in the world of that of the Detroit Lions and the culture and the ethos that he's built. If he was to address his team going into that game like, hey, you know, I know I've been that guy that wants to bite kneecaps and we play through hell and thick and thin, but let's sit this one out just to be on the safe side. People would be like, what? His team would be like, what happened to you? And I think it built the proper momentum for that team. It keeps them on course. The execution is there with Goff and his receivers. And you want to keep that train going down the track in what's going to be obviously the most important game, not only their season, but, I mean, we haven't seen a game like this in the regular season for some time.
Well, imagine if Dan Campbell walks into the locker room or a team meeting and says, hey, Goff, you're not playing. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're not playing. The entire offensive line is not playing against San Francisco. This game means nothing to us. Then asking that same group, those same players, to get up the next week and say, hey, go out there and play perfect and go out there and win a must-win game at home for me. It's almost like having the extra rest in baseball. You get the extra couple of days off, your hitting's a little off, your pitching's a little off, your timing, like, you risk so much more by resting your players that are healthy than sitting them and hoping they can get back up to speed in 1 week's time, 2 weeks time. Now imagine this. They take this past week off, they beat the Vikings, and they get the number one seed. They're having two bye weeks in 3 weeks, and then having to go play a must-win game again at home against whoever it may be. You're just asking your team to have too much time off and somehow have to be perfect and thread that needle in the playoff. It's already so hard to win in the NFL. Like, you're almost asking your healthy guys to do the impossible, and with your team's already banged up enough, like, it's already hard enough to do that.
Yeah, somebody on the text line saying, Dan, you didn't believe Campbell was going to make it in the league. I didn't.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, man.
To Dan's credit, he was a Sam Darnold guy last year. He really was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a Sam Darnold guy going into this offseason in order for the 49ers to go ahead and find their guy. Like, I haven't talked about this, but I think Sam Darnold has got to be that quarterback. At least.
You want to bring him back?
Oh. Wouldn't you?
No. No. I wouldn't.
Explain yourself, young man.
I mean, look, he's having a great year, and it's hard to, you know, poke holes in that. The arm talent's there. The offense is there. If I'm Minnesota, I'm not even letting him hit free agency. And I get he wants to see what his market is, but, like, forget J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Like, forget, trade him away. Give me Sam Darnold in Minnesota for the next 8-plus years. Like, let him be the guy. Because that I get it, they want to see what McCarthy has, but if... Dan, if you are to believe Darnold's the guy, and they've won 14 games this year, they might win 15 when it's all said and done after next week. I've never seen a quarterback win 15 games and not keep their job. Like, what is that about? And for San Francisco, you know, okay, Brock's not having the greatest year of his career, but they have been so crystal clear that this is our guy. We're committed to him. Now, I don't know about you, Dan. Does that sound like coach speak to you? Oh, they have to say these things? Or are you saying bring in Darnold, let these guys compete? Or are you saying trade Purdy away?
I'm saying that you're right. First of all, a lot has to happen between now and then. Let's see how he performs in the playoffs. And does Minnesota actually make him available?
Yeah.
Now, if he does... and he's out there, then if you're the 49ers, you absolutely have to consider it. There is no doubt in my mind. I don't care what it is that I've said to Brock Purdy in the past. This is the NFL. Things change from game to game, week to week, let alone year to year. So, you know, while you took a step back and we still believe in you, you have to understand that we have to do what's best for us, not only as a football team, but also financially. And so if nothing else, what Sam Darnold is leverage. If he's asking for what you said, $65 million, which to me is absurd, well, I've got to bring you down, or I got to bring you off that number. And how do I do that? I go to his guys and I say, look, I'm seriously considering, since Sam Darnold is available, I'm seriously considering signing him for 35. And you know that I'm not bluffing here because we have history, and it just makes more sense to us on so many different levels. And I would even argue that even if they're willing to come down to $50 million, I'm still going with Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is the better quarterback right now. Now, I know you could disagree, and a lot of people out there could disagree with that. And actually, let's continue with that thought. I've got to get to a break. It's time for... make sure I'm doing this right. Time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Unfortunately, last night, the Cavs' defense was just too good. They limited the Warriors to just 9 made three-pointers. Curry and Moody each made 3. Schroeder made 2, and Wiggins made 1. And that's it, unfortunately. Pettinelli's donations to the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area, will remain at 9 on the season for Triples for Autism. But there's another chance coming up on Thursday when the Warriors welcome the 76ers into Chase Center. To make a donation to Autism yourself or to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society of San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to pettinellisfp.com. All right, we're going to continue. I want to talk about Sam Darnold. Apparently, my man... he's not your guy. And there's a lot of people that feel your way. But I'm telling you, if he's available, you got to lock that guy up. And there's nobody... I'll leave it up to you guys. I'll leave it up to the fans. 888-957-9570, as well as you, one Sterling Bennett, to talk me down. Is there any way you can convince me that Sam Darnold is not the future going forward? We'll do that and much more on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
This segment is sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, Sterling Bennett and Dan DeVoe. On New Year's Eve, big plans out there in the California-Nevada border for you there, Sterling, tonight?
No, we got the family over, going to have a nice quiet night. Might play some Uno, might get the board games out and have a nice quiet family day. Got the dog out, the wifey's out there making some nice little treats for us. But I will say this, as I inch towards the age of 30, I can't watch the ball drop anymore. I am like in bed by 9 o'clock nowadays. Jeez. I just can't do it, Dan.
Oh, come on, man. You don't need to be in bed by 9. You're scaring me, all right? Save that for the old farts.
2025, I know it'll be there 8 o'clock in the morning when I have to get up. It'll be there no matter what.
What's the name of your town again?
Hesperia.
I refuse to call it a city. That post.
I don't think it is either. It's like a shack in a corner store. It's all it really is.
Hesperia, California. Now, a guy like me is in Hesperia, California. Nah, I like to have a cold one every now and then. And if I want to go and wet my beak, is there a Kelsey's down the block? Or where am I going to get a beverage?
I would not frequent this place, but there is a tavern called the Whiskey Barrel. I've only been there once, but you have the TVs up, you can get a drink there too. But I would actually go to Pancho Villa's, a nice Hispanic restaurant down the corner. Much better. The atmosphere is great and the food is fantastic.
All right. Well, as long as I know that there's alcohol nearby, all right. You're fine. Maybe I could do a year
there
or two.
There is a 7-Eleven down the street. You can bring it back to the house if you have to.
All right, we were talking about Sam Darnold, and I want to open this up. 888-957-9570. Go hit me on the text line. To me, it's a no-brainer, and I'm curious, and I'm swayable. If there's somebody that can provide a convincing argument as to why you don't want Sam Darnold. Now, look at it again. we're just looking at this through the perfect case scenario where Minnesota, for some reason, wants to get off of Sam Darnold. And there's legitimate reasons. If you want to invest in J.J. McCarthy, he's on that rookie deal. And if you believe that Kevin O'Connell is indeed that guy, then it's basically J.J. McCarthy and Kevin O'Connell. And Kevin O'Connell can, if it's Kevin O'Connell we trust, then Kevin O'Connell can turn him into this year's Sam Darnold. And if there's that sort of faith in the guy, and they like what they saw with J.J. McCarthy prior to the injury, and he was supposed to battle it out with Sam Darnold, though I think Darnold was going to get the nod to start the season. But let's just say that they don't franchise tag him because it's too big of a salary cap hit, and he's out there. Why would the 49ers not sign Sam Darnold and sign Brock Purdy?
Well, what message does that send to your team?
We want to win?
Like, I mean, but you've won with Brock Purdy. You went to a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy where it wasn't, oh, he's being carried like Jimmy Garoppolo. He is one of the main reasons as to why you're going to a Super Bowl. Now, I get this year has been difficult for a variety of reasons, some of those being Brock Purdy. Last night's two picks was right to a defender. And you're like, what the heck? We crushed him after that loss against the Cardinals early in the year. It's 23-24. All you need is one drive. Go get me a somewhat makeable field goal by Jake Moody and win this football game. Go against the Dolphins last week, and can you get me one drive? And boom, interception, game over. There's many reasons to push back on Brock as the answer in San Francisco, and I'm all ears for those. I'm not completely sold on him being a record-breaking quarterback, but I think there is a precedent set that this guy has had 2 years of excellent play. He saved your season 1 year, and last year took you to a place you hadn't been for the last 3 or 4 years before that, and had you closer than the other guy did in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't want this year to be a referendum on how great Purdy was last year. Like, Brock and Kyle Shanahan were in sync all year long. Does one bad year make you sway that hard the other way to say, nope, not the answer, not the guy anymore?
I think he's a good quarterback. And let's, anybody wants to entertain otherwise, yeah, we're not doing that. That's just being silly. And he's a good guy, which I think goes a long way. I think you want your leaders to be Steph Curry-esque, although there's Steph Curry's one of one, but keeping your nose clean and being the leader of a team and, you know, personifying that image outside of the football and off the field and during the offseason, that goes a long way, man. He's the perfect guy. But let's face it, the NFL is about one thing. It's about winning games. And that's how you get re-upped as a coach. That's how you provide security. And you know the acronym, what the NFL stands for. It's not for long, league. And so if guys like now don't understand that, that have been in the league for a while, that you're as good oftentimes not only as your last season, but in some instances as good as your last game, well, you're living, you know, you get your head in the clouds because we're always looking to improve and we're always looking to win. And while the loyalty may not always be there, you have to understand that this is, at the end of the day, a business.
Sure.
And everybody understands when they sign up what it is that they've just inked their name to, and that is a business where winning is the bottom line. And if you lose a half step, well, suddenly you're going to be tradable regardless of all the fanfare and as much as we've adorned your play and your behavior throughout the years. So Sam Darnold, to me, pound for pound, is a better quarterback. And if I can get him at a cheaper price, then all those other arguments in terms of loyalty, what he did last year, what he's done since being drafted as Mr. Irrelevant, they carry no weight. And I know it sounds harsh, but it's a harsh reality that this is the National Football League. I'll love you and I'll be friend. You want to stay, you know, you want to stay buddies? Let's do that. But I have to think about what's best for the football team going forward. And I also have to be fiscally responsible. And with both things being equal, I have to lean towards Sam Darnold and loyalty be damned.
So you're saying even if both quarterbacks commanded $40 million a year, you're picking Darnold over Brock Purdy.
I would.
And that's based on this season of play alone.
It is. Well, of course. I'm not basing it on what happened in New York.
Right. But I mean, like we have a longer track record of success with Brock Purdy in just 2 years than we ever had with Sam Darnold. Darnold has one really, really phenomenal season with the Vikings, which has been great. But I guarantee you this. If Brock Purdy, say he didn't have Christian McCaffrey still, but he had Brandon Ayuk at full capacity, I'd guarantee that wouldn't be your opinion. Because we saw last year Brock with Brandon Ayuk fully healthy, no contract disputes, was a whole different quarterback. Whereas Sam Darnold has Justin Jefferson, who's been out there almost every single game, and they have been a 1-2 punch of, oh my goodness, look at that throw, look at this throw, look at that throw. And it's no knock on Darnold at all. He's making the throws. He's doing great stuff. But I do think it's a little unfair to grade Darnold maybe with some rose-tinted glasses, knowing that Brock hasn't had his number one receiver all year long.
Fair enough. But Sam Darnold has a stronger arm. I don't care who the wide 100%. Receivers. I don't care who the wide. Yes. And that means something in this league. There were plays last night where Jared Goff has a stronger arm than that of Brock Purdy. And you can see the zip on his ball. Like, he throws a fastball. And he would get it to guys in a seam. Meanwhile, there was one play in particular where Jennings made a reception for about 11 yards in a first down, and he got crushed. He got the safety came up, and I forget the name, that just came up and laid the wood. And ideally, what you want to do if you're Jennings, because you know, you hear those footsteps, is make that catch and duck for cover.
Sure.
And if somebody gets it to you, like, whap, right now, I can get down. But he had to wait that extra second, that extra half second. And it's the difference between a collision and no collision. And I've seen Purdy throw an out pattern where he just simply, the ball's leaking oil. And this is not a knock on again, Brock Purdy in terms of him being able to go through progressions. But at the end of the day, it's very fundamental that I think Sam Darnold can go through the exact same progressions just as quickly. But guess what? He's 3 inches taller, his hand's twice the size, and he can throw the fastball. Do you remember, and I always go back to this, anytime we talk about Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, and the 49ers, in that game when the Niners lost to Minnesota early on in the season, and that throw he made backed up in his own end zone, and he hit Justin Jefferson in stride. I want everybody, I remind everybody every time I do this, just to go look at the YouTube tape. I've never seen anything that effortless. It's almost as if he flicked his wrist, and it was so casual, and that thing went 70 yards in the air, and he hit Justin Jefferson in stride. Brock Purdy can't do that. Very few can. There is something to arm strength, as well as being smart, as well as being able to do all the things that Purdy can do. Also, Purdy is, what, fourth in the league in terms of balls getting batted down at the line of scrimmage? That's not happening with Sam Darnold. Darnold's looking over those defensive linemen. He's looking over linebackers. He can see the field. It's a harsh. This is not a reflection on Brock Purdy being a bad guy or an insufficient quarterback, but when you stack him up, again, if the bottom line as a general manager, as a football team, is that we have to do what's best for our team in terms of winning and getting back to a Super Bowl, and you just put those two side by side, I want Sam Darnold. Because of his raw ability is better than that of one Brock Purdy.
But do we ignore his previous stints with the Jets and the Panthers?
Yes. And here's why. Because I think a lot of people are still waiting for, and you don't have to, but this is my opinion. A lot of people are still waiting for that other shoe to drop. Or he's going to be he's going to be Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. It ain't happening, people. What happened in San Francisco, in terms of the light going on, and he just needed to be with the right person, and that being Kyle Shanahan, or the right quarterback whisperer, understood how to teach somebody with his talent, this is real, starting with Kyle Shanahan and now Kevin O'Connell, that he's not going back there. And if you think that he's going to revert back to that guy and just wait, it's going to happen any day now, it's going to happen in the playoffs, people have been waiting all season. I've seen enough body of his work to come to the conclusion that dude does not live here anymore. Sam Darnold is the real deal. I could be, you know, I've been wrong before.
Let's, if that's the case, And we can both admit that Kyle Shanahan would know football better than any of us, like head and shoulders ahead of all of us. He had him in the building. If he believed that Darnold was better than Brock Purdy, why didn't he do what it took to retain him and say, look, quarterback competition. You know, Brock's great and all, but he has the tools that I like better. He's more efficient, better arm strength, a little taller. Like, he had him in the building and let him go. Now, Darnold wanted to go start elsewhere, fine. I totally get that, but it's not like Kyle didn't have the opportunity to make the quarterback change during last offseason. Say, oh, Brock, you're great and all, but we're going with Sam Darnold. And we're going to re-sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal, the exact same deal he has now. I think it's like $11 million for 1 year. Like, he could have done it. And he said, no, I want to roll with Brock Purdy. Why should I believe they're going to do that this offseason?
Fair enough. I would say that Kyle Shanahan didn't get an opportunity to see him play. I think Kyle
Shanahan did, though.
Well,
in practice, every single day.
No, I mean, in practice, he wasn't very good. I think he's Carter Chickering. I mean, well, no, he wasn't, and he wasn't. But so if you're just predicating on practice where, you know, Sam, because in order to really pass judgment on a quarterback is you got to give him an opportunity, right? You got to let him play. And you got to let him play.
Kyle Shanahan was willing to, like, Kyle Shanahan fell in love with Brock Purdy and was like, that's the guy, he's better than Trey, he's better than Jimmy, which maybe isn't a big statement to make, but he said that in practice. He saw that in practice. Why didn't he see the same thing about Sam Darnold in practice?
Yeah, but when did he replace Jimmy Garoppolo?
After he got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So the same could be said back then. If he was so much better than Jimmy Garoppolo, why didn't he make the switch before Jimmy got hurt? My point being
because
is
of
money. That, well, the same with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, you know, Well, I guess he was making more than that. Was he making more than Purdy last year? He probably was.
Yeah, he was.
But I think that, yeah, what you say is true, but you do need to see a body of work. And while you may believe in a guy, but this is when what it is that Purdy did the year prior, where he has stuff on tape, and then Sam Darnold is just a guy that's done it in practice, or at least, well, he wasn't even very good in practice. But knowing that the potential is there, you can't make that replacement exclusively on conjecture or potential or what he did in practice because Brock Purdy was so good. But now that we've seen a full year of it and a guy that's led a team 14-2 and has made all the throws, and not only that, but situational football, bringing his team back, two-minute drills. I mean, he went through a little snafu where everybody thought, like in week five after they got off to their 5-0, yeah, right? It's like, here it comes. They just lost two in a row. Here comes Sam Darnold. And then he just showed that he had the mental fortitude to straighten that thing out. And once again, sitting here at 14-2, and probably the most forgettable 14-2 we've seen in a long time. I think it's just a matter of getting an opportunity to play football, which he didn't in San Francisco because Brock Purdy was already entrenched at that number one spot.
So let's say, okay, the Vikings go to the playoffs. They're the fifth seed, number one seed, doesn't matter what they are. They go to the playoffs. And in the first round, second round, he just lays an egg. Looks terrible, throws a couple picks, looks like he was seeing ghosts out there. Does that change at all?
Yeah, no, it's a good point because I think I preface this by saying the job isn't done. There's still a lot of football that's left to be played. I think, to me, that I've seen enough. Again, I don't think, and I don't think that Kevin O'Connell, and I don't think Kyle Shanahan think he's going to go back to being the guy he was in New York or the guy he was prior to coming to the San Francisco 49ers. I think that's been eradicated. I think those demons have left Sam Darnold. So as bad as he might play, and people play poorly, I mean, look at Lamar Jackson. Right? People play poorly in the postseason. Right? In the postseason, some guys will lay an egg. To me, that's not enough. If he's available, especially at a cheaper rate, for me to go get him and replace Brock Purdy. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's get out to Rhode Island. Check in with Jeff. Jeff, what's on your mind, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going? Hey, Happy New Year.
You as well.
Happy New Year.
I've been listening to this whole back and forth regarding Brock and Sam Darnold, and now I'm swaying from what I'm hearing with you guys is like I'm swaying towards Darnold now. And my thing is with Brock was last year, I know you just mentioned, you know, having Brandon and everything, but you also had the offensive player of the year on the field who was healthy all year too. So that's going to add into it too. And I guess my question is, we see how this all plays out with Donald in the offseason. What's the number it would take to get him? And do you just use it for leverage to lower Brock's asking price? And if they truly, if the 49ers truly do, would want Sam Donald, what do you do with Brock?
Well, he's under contract for next year, so he'd sit behind Darnold or whatever they choose to do. I would assume if they did sign Darnold for whatever that price may be, and
you're
obviously
trading.
Dan can go back and forth, it would be a Darnold and Purdy quarterback competition next year in training camp, which then the media is out there and everyone's talking about it once again. But Purdy's under contract. I maybe, Dan, maybe we can talk about trading Brock Purdy, but even
I would
seems
trade him.
A little absurd to me.
Well, I see, I get it. The absurd thing is when you entertain Sam Darnold, and when you were to think about this at the beginning of the season, it seems ridiculous. It seems semi-absurd. But I think people have to, like, see what's in front of you right now. And a lot of people are, for whatever reason, in denial of Sam Darnold and what it is that he's been able to do. It's a 14-2 football team due in large part to Sam freaking Darnold.
Sure.
And Sam Darnold likes Kyle Shanahan. And I don't know this as a fact, but if Sam Darnold is let go by that of the Minnesota Vikings, I'm willing to bet he wants to play once again for Kyle Shanahan, who resurrected his career. And if that's the case, and Kyle Shanahan's aware of Sam Darnold, it's the reason why he coveted the guy, even before last year. Keep in mind that when they were in that flux with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, he was kicking the tires on Sam Darnold back then, if you recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the history is there, this is a real possibility that people really have to sort of get their arms around. Let's continue the conversation with Rom hanging out in San Jose. Big Rom, what's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just moved to the Bay Area from a different part of the country, but I hear this conversation going back and forth, right? So, to be fair, I think Shanahan is a great offensive mind. But then in terms of just recognizing the quarterbacks, right, what he did with Garoppolo, so I'm from the Boston area. So Garoppolo couldn't play through injury, and he was injury prone, right? Then he came in and gave up all this draft capital for Trey Lance, and I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. So the point being, if he didn't walk in as backwards into Brock in that draft, would he still have a job really? Because he blew so many first round picks on that, and he let Sam Darnold go. So I'm not quite sure why nobody's questioning Shanahan's ability to see the quarterback in a draft or just recognize the qualities. Right, he's a great play caller, but really, where would he be without if Brock Purdy couldn't play?
Because he's a lucky SOB. That's why. And you know, to that point, Sterling, in all seriousness, if I'm one of the minions for Brock Purdy, if I'm one of his agents, I would blow in Kyle's ear and say, man, you owe us a solid. Because what Rom just said is true. Like, that was the narrative. I mean, that was sort of, at the time, I remember a lot of people were saying that Kyle Shanahan is putting his entire career, as is John Lynch, on this draft pick. They're moving up to go get Trey Lance. Trey Lance was a bust. Trey Lance wasn't even, I mean, he was Jamarcus Russell-esque. It wasn't like Daniel Jones where he had, well, it's not like he had six.
At least Trey was watching the tape they gave him at home. Like, he was actually doing his homework. He just couldn't do it on the football.
But, I mean, there were fundamental issues right from jump street.
Yeah.
Like, this guy had a hitch.
Throwing motion.
Yeah, he had, like, he wasn't accurate with the football. I mean, it was about as big of a mistake that you can make. And as far as giving up all that draft capital, it could have been career-defining. But along comes Brock Purdy, and suddenly we forget all about that. Now, if I'm Brock Purdy, I might just happen to blow in his ear and say, man, don't you owe me a little something-something? Not only have I played for free the last couple of years and taken you to Super Bowls as well as NFC Championships, but let's not forget what it is that I did in terms of making people forget what it is that you did as far as compromising the future, mortgaging the future, and draft picks, and going and getting one Trey Lance. That's...
Well, think of it this way. Well, yes, Brock can feel like you owe me something, but from a Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch perspective, what other NFL regime has been allowed to have three different franchise quarterbacks and survive? None. It is, you get one shot to get your guy, maybe two if you're lucky. The Niners, if they sign Brock Purdy to a massive deal, or in Dan's case, go get Sam Darnold, That's their third shot at a franchise quarterback. Like, this is it. This is the end. You get three strikes and you're out. You missed on with Jimmy was fine, but, you know, didn't get the job done. Trey was a massive strikeout. And in Brock Purdy's case, or again in Sam Darnold's case, you get a third try and you strike out, they have to go. You have to go.
Well, it'll be interesting. So somebody's saying Sam didn't look good in the Cardinal game when Purdy went out for a drive. I'm not following that. Does that make sense to you? Anyway,
I mean, Sam played against the Rams last year, and they lost by 1 point thanks to Jake.
Oh, Sam last year. I get you. I thought he was talking about Sam Darnold against the Cardinals this year. Well, you know, basically, you know why the Minnesota Vikings took a roller on him? And it's one of the reasons why Carson Wentz and the Kansas City Chiefs coming up on Sunday are going to be balling out is because, you know, you want to put something on tape if you're Carson Wentz. And it was Sam Darnold. This is according to the Vikings. In that mop-up duty on Christmas Day against the Baltimore Ravens. Remember the game was done basically at halftime?
Oh, yeah.
And he played a good 10 minutes of that game. I want to say it's the most he had played. And Sam Darnold got in there, and he opened the eyes of the Vikings. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Is this the same Sam Darnold? What's going on here? And so they saw something there. And that's when they invited him to camp. So, you know,
didn't open the eyes of Kyle Shanahan.
No, because, you know, listen, you need, for the Vikings, you're in a much different situation.
Sure.
Because you don't have a quarterback. You drafted a young quarterback, and you're going to invite. There's a difference between inviting someone to camp because you see that there might be a glimmer there of some potential, as opposed to someone like that of Kyle Shanahan, who did not want to get rid of Sam Darnold. But it's highly different than replacing your starting quarterback who had an MVP-esque year and inserting Sam Darnold because he did well in mop-up duty against that of the Baltimore Ravens.
But that's the thing, is like, so we're having this conversation about replacing Brock Purdy, maybe. And their resumes are going to look very similar after this year, right? You're going to have 1 to 2 playoff appearances for each player, 1 for Sam, 2 for Purdy. Sam may or may not finish in the top 5 for MVP. I don't see how he doesn't this year because he's been so good. It really just comes down to price tag.
Yes.
And if it's worth letting Purdy go and not believing he can return to that caliber of player. Like, in this conversation of, well, it comes down to contract value, we can't forget, like, Brock could look the exact same way next year as he looked in 2023 when he almost won the MVP. Like, we can't ignore that Brock could return to form, if you will, when he has Christian McCaffrey healthy, when he has Brandon Ayuk, if he ever comes back next year. Like, I get it. We are praising Sam Darnold and giving him kudos. He also has Justin Jefferson, who is going to have 1,500 yards and 10-plus touchdowns this year, and 97 receptions. Brock doesn't have that. He had it last year, and he looked really good. Like, I am one that believes if you give Brock Purdy that number one guy, his leading target getter back, you will see a reversion back to his true form, which was a really, really, really good quarterback in 2023.
But does his arm get any stronger?
Well, no, but does Darnold get any better? Does he not throw picks? Like, does Darnold play good in the playoffs? We have no idea yet.
Yeah, we'll find out. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, let's get into a little Jake Moody and talk about the young kicker for that of the San Francisco 49ers and what to do with this guy. We'll be back right after this.
To Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop. All right. Sterling Bennett and Dan Abel. New Year's Eve here in San Francisco. New Year's Eve for my man out in Hesperia. We're talking about the San Francisco 49ers. Before we get into Mr. Moody, which is, I feel bad for the guy, and I know like a majority of the people are going to want to see another kicker, but he's a kicker for crying out loud. Like, I mean, there's more important issues than kickers. I get it.
He hasn't been good. But
maybe.
Yeah.
He's been that bad.
He's been brutal. Well, any of that, the high ankle sprain, do we give him a pass a little bit?
I don't care. Right. He's bad last year, too.
All right, we want to continue the conversation, however, about Brock Purdy. I threw out Sam Darnold. I'm a big Sam Darnold guy. What say you? Let's start things with Robert out in Concord. Wants to talk about the Niners quarterback. Robert, what's up, buddy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Look, for me personally, I've decided that, well, in my opinion, I'd love to see Brock Purdy get signed by the 49ers. Hopefully not to a lucrative deal that puts the team on ice skates trying to figure out what players to keep, especially since I really don't think it really matters at this point. But the talk about Sam Darnold, again, in my opinion, or Brock Purdy, or even Lamar Jackson, just joking. On this football team right now with the 49ers offensive line, I don't care who you put right back there at quarterback. There's just not much of talent around the quarterback for success. I will always go back to 1999, to Kurt Warner. And look, that man had weapons from Torrey Holt to Isaac Bruce to Marshall Faulk to an unbelievable offensive line that gave that man time to throw over 400 yards, it seemed like, each and every game. They were scoring over 20 plus points. So you put a quarterback back there with an offensive line, I think, you know, we'll see the success that Brock Purdy has had in the past. So that's who I'd love to see back next season, just hopefully not to the point where $60-plus million will eat away at the other chances of signing other players that could be to the success of the 49ers. The one last thing is with Jake Moody. Hopefully this guy does not have yips like Mark Woolley from the Atlanta Braves, where he lost it. So hopefully he can recover if it's an injury and get back to what we remember seeing.
Third round draft pick, which is sort of a head scratch. Yeah, thanks for the call. Well, that's just it. That's the hang up. And one of the reasons why I'm entertaining Sam Darnold is because Purdy's not coming in at a team friendly deal, nor should he, quite frankly. You get one opportunity, really, at this. Maybe two if he sustains this level of play, and we'll see. But you know his agents are going to want to reset the market. That's what they do. That's what they're paid to do. He's next in line. For crying out loud, Dak Prescott just reset the market at $65 million per. And when you think about Tua Tagovailoa to that of Trevor Lawrence, that you know they're going to ask for potentially north of $60 million. And yes, I don't care how you slice it up, And forget about the APY, the average per year. You have to think about guaranteed money. So they're gonna want somewhere between, what, 175? They're going to come in with a high number. And that is going to compromise or limit what it is that you can do as the 49ers in terms of addressing that offensive line, in terms of signing Dre Greenlaw, in terms of Talanoa Hufanga's contract. Yes, you're not going to be as good of a football team because you're going to focus the majority of your money is going to be invested in one guy, and that is Brock Purdy. Wherein lies the Sam Darnold component in all of this? Now, you gave the scenario if they both committed $40 million. There's no way in hell Brock Purdy wants $40 million. His right. guys are going to look for as much as they can get. And Sam Darnold is not. Darnold doesn't have that sort of leverage. He's got 1 year under his belt, so he's going to come in somewhere around $35 million. Maybe 40, I don't know the asking price, but I can tell you this, it's going to be considerably lower than that of Brock Purdy. And to me, again, not that all things go back to Sam Darnold, but it's a no-brainer. Would you agree that they are going to ask for everything in the kitchen sink?
I do, but I also think it's not just about guarantees and APY. I also believe it's about how you structure contracts.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter how or who the player is, whether it is George Kittle, Fred Warner, D'Amador Lenore. Those cap hits remain, albeit in Brock's case, it'll be higher than what it is now, $1 million. They're going to remain relatively low for the first 2 to 3 years of that contract. So the worry of, oh, if they pay Brock, they're not going to be able to re-sign certain players or bring in key free agents next year or even in 2 years' time, that's not true. Like, they are going to be able to be competitive in the open market for the next 2, if not 3 years, even if they re-sign Brock Purdy to a massive contract. That said, at the end of that contract, what makes it so tough is it's hard to get out of, and it's the void years that crush you. You know, this team, for a long time, was paying, you know, $3, $4, $5, $8 million to Dee Ford when he wasn't even playing for them. So this idea that, well, if they pay Brock, they're not going to be competitive, or they're not going to be able to sign players, and it's just going to be Brock Purdy and nobody else on the team, it's not true. Now, yes, you have to eventually replace players like Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, but I would really not be too worried about when you hear, oh, Brock Purdy agrees to a 4-year, I don't know, whatever it'll be, you know, $65 million a year contract. That number means nothing. It is a face value number that has nothing, no weight behind it. It's all about how the contract is structured, and the Niners are arguably better than anybody else when it comes to freeing up that money, maybe outside of Kansas City, and keeping those contracts low, even after paying a quarterback $65-plus million a year.
Yeah, that's well put. And they'll kick that can down the road.
Yeah.
But eventually you do have to pay the piper. And some of that, sure, like, they'll defer a lot of that. And you're right.
Yeah.
Prognerate and company are good at that. But it is still going to have to be paid at whether you pay me now or you pay me later.
Correct.
And the one thing when people say, okay, well, you know, he's better than Trevor Lawrence. How come Trevor Lawrence is able to get that sort of money in Tua Tagovailoa and even Dak Prescott? The 49ers, keep in mind, every single year, because they are so star-laden, are resetting the market when it comes to Nick Bosa, when it comes to Fred Warner, when it comes to these Christian McCaffrey, the highest-paid running back, I want to say. Like the 40 and Trent Williams. The 49ers deal with this every single year. Those other teams that I just mentioned, Jacksonville and Miami, they're paying one guy a healthy number, and that's their starting quarterback. For the 49ers, you have to keep in mind, if it was just Brock Purdy and then a bunch of guys under rookie deals or a bunch of guys that were okay or some guys with some promise, it's a different story. But you're shelling out some serious money to a lot of proven all-Pro Bowl performers. And so it does become a question, I think, of dollars and cents because of the money that's already been given out by the 49ers, and they certainly, as you mentioned, do it better than ever. But at some point, I do believe it comes back to bite you, and it just becomes a question as to whether or not he's worthy of that money. And if I can do the same with that of Sam Darnold, but at a lower number, it's going to make a lot more sense, I think, for the San Francisco 49ers going forward. Let's get out to Nick hanging out in Berkeley. He wants to talk about the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. What's up, Nick? Nick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, sorry. The Niners played masterfully last night, man. And you know what? We went on a drive where everybody touched the ball one time and we scored a touchdown. Then we're going down to take a 2-score lead, and this invisible offensive pass interference, bro, like, I can't even believe it. Like, it was just a ridiculous call, right? So anyways, that being said, dude, Shanahan's got major problems in his decision-making. Mason was what, like maybe second, third in the league, running like 6 yards a pop, and then all of a sudden McCaffrey comes back, and he's out of the lineup, basically, like, just out of commission. It's like, bro, you can't mix him in. Like, he didn't sit on the bench for 2 or 3 years to earn a spot to get a shot. Like, why couldn't you, or, you know, ease McCaffrey back in rather than just grind him, throw him in the meat grinder again? Now he got re-hurt. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's just so unbelievably short-sighted of him to not see that, mix people in and respect the players that's been on the bench and earned their time to get in there, man. It's like, how do the other players feel about that? I'd be pissed off, man, quite honestly.
Well, to me, as it relates to last night, we talked about this, is when you're talking about running the football, why he just got away from the run entirely.
Yeah.
And that's, you're right, that's where he hangs his hat, right? It comes down from his old man, whether it's Bobby Turner, but that's what they do. And it's, once you get a team on their skates and they're playing run and you're sucking them up on play action, well, then the world's yours. When you have Kittle and you got Pearsall and you got Deebo Samuel and you got Purdy pulling the trigger, and that's what they did in that first half. That was vintage 49er football. That looked like the Kyle Shanahan that we've all known to grow and love, man. Just throwing to wide open guys. Brock Purdy just had Pearsall by himself. Now, I know
You're giving Purdy a lot more credit for the numbers than I am, but Purdy had a good game. I just think a lot of that was just Kyle Shanahan, and they have the ability to run, and Detroit's defense sucks to begin with, and that compounded with the fact that they had play action working. It was a carnival. And then inexplicably, Sterling, he gets away from him in the second half, and we're still trying to figure out why.
But this idea that they were able to run the football, and I think I would agree to the extent of they were getting Pearsall involved on end-arounds and reverses, and Debo was involved, and Grendel was involved. But if I asked you how many yards do you think Grendel had last night, the lead back, how many do you think he had?
Less than 50.
Yeah, 34 on 9 carries. So this idea that they were running the football well, maybe a little bit in the first 2 drives, I would agree. But outside of that, they really were not running the football. Now, I would also agree that you got to continue to try. You can't just get away from it, which that was a problem last night and many other games in the past. But I also think...